You've just come back from the Antarctic.
That's right.
From on board the Sea Shepherd ship.
That's right. That's right. I've just come back last week, so I've been home 8 days now, I think.
What's it like to be back?
Oh, it's nice. I'm gonna have to. It's nice to see all my friends and get somewhere that's a little bit warmer. I have to go back to work and back to normal life. So it's, I'm gonna miss it a little bit.
Could you tell me what the aim was of going out there in terms of the Sea Shepherd mission?
Sea Shepherd's mission to the Antarctic this year was to stop the Japanese whaling fleet from meeting their quota of about 1,000 whales and enforce the conservation laws that protect the Southern Ocean's Whale Sanctuary. Japan's been doing this research whaling ever since the moratorium on commercial whaling by the International Whaling Commission. Essentially, it's a loophole that's exploited by Japan to allow them to continually kill whales on a commercial basis. The fisheries agency have never published anything, any kind of scientific paper, or any information regarding whales that we didn't know already. Everything that they've, all the information they've gathered, could easily be gathered with non-lethal methods. They're condemned by the British Antarctic Survey and the American Antarctic Survey. Real researchers doing real research in Antarctica. So, the research is really just to try and legitimise the fleet.
So this is the main Japanese whaling fleet? It's like the fleet?
Japan also has this fleet, which is the pelagic, or ocean-going fleet. There's also some coastal whaling vessels that take whales off the coast of Japan, sort of within its 200-mile limit. The fleet also, the same fleet with Nishinmaru as the factory ship, also have a North Pacific whale hunt, which takes 500 or 600 whales a year as well. So they basically follow the migrations of the whales from Antarctica to the North Pacific, taking whales at each end. And Nishinmaru very rarely comes back to port. It sort of anchors out in the bay in Yokohama, its home port, and comes in for major repairs only. It's at sea most months of the year.
All the time.
Yeah. So, it's like I say, it's a major operation. Just to put a little bit of perspective on how much money they're making out of this, a fin whale, a large fin whale, is worth just under $1 million in terms of its meat and blubber. Minke whales are worth about $250,000. So it's a major industry in terms of the profits it's making.
So you went out there. Could you tell us a little bit about what's been happening?
Yeah, I mean, this year's campaign was really quite epic. In 86 days, the Steve Irwin covered enough distance to go around the world once. It was a major effort, and because of the large amounts of publicity, Sea Shepherd was able to get enough money together to refill the fuel tanks, which is the major expense, really, carry out some repairs and go down for a third time. The previous crew had left for various reasons. A lot of people had run out of time, had jobs to go back to, families to go home to, and so a whole new crew was brought in for the third leg, which included myself. I wasn't there for the first two legs of the mission. And we went down to the Antarctic coast and harassed the whaling fleet and stopped them physically there in front of our eyes. We saw them not whale for 9 days, and the harassment that we scattered the fleet to the four winds, basically. And whilst the fleet scattered, they're unable to whale. So I don't know exactly how many days we were able to stop them, but it was a good sort of 10, 11 days of whaling.
And that's only the third leg?
No, it's just the third leg. The middle leg. The first leg was cut short by engine trouble, and the ship had to return to Melbourne for repairs. And I, to be honest, I wasn't following the campaign that closely at that point. The second leg was quite amazing, really. They again broke up the fleet for 3.5 weeks. It's pretty much sort of the whole time that they were down in Antarctica, they were harassing the whaling fleet. And the third leg, like I say, it was, I don't know, like 11 days or something. So, in total, we stopped them for about 5 weeks.
And it said that they only have been able to meet about half their quota.
Yeah, I can't. The number is different depending on who you ask. But the fisheries agency, Japanese fisheries agency, said that they fell short of their quota by around 500 whales. So yeah, approximately half. And Japan attributed their failure to catch the quota on Sea Shepherd. They didn't mention any other reason. So it's, you know, it's a bit of a pat on the back for us. And, you know, we're all very pleased to hear that they only made a half of their quota. It's still too many. One is too many. But, you know, it's a good use of time and a good use of resources to protect 500 whales. So yeah, it's a good campaign all in all.
The Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, as it's known, they do a lot of other work as well, not
That's
just
right.
on the whaling issue. Could
That's
you
right,
explain
yeah.
a bit about that?
Yeah, Sea Shepherd's got three ships and numerous small vessels that patrol various areas. The Farley Moa, the flagship, is actually at the moment on its way up to Canada to protect the baby harp seals that the Canadian government is culling. They're culling about a third of the population, which is insane, being as the population is at less than 10% than it was sort of 30 years ago. So it's, you know, they're really trying to push the harp seals into extinction there. Sea Shepherd's got quite a long history with the harp seal. It was actually the first Sea Shepherd campaign back in 77, I think, you know, where they confronted the seal clubbers. Everyone's seen pictures of baby seals being clubbed. And that's going on in a couple of weeks' time off the coast of Newfoundland. So, yeah, Sea Shepherd's on the way there to do that now. That's the current campaign. That's the Farley Mowat. It's also been involved with drift netting and long lining.
So the Sea Shepherd really focused on protecting wildlife in all different forms?
Yeah. Sea Shepherd is basically a direct action conservation group that protects the marine environment. And has opinions on other things too, but doesn't really take action on anything that isn't related to the sea and marine environment. Our third ship, the Serenian, is on a long-term lease to the Galapagos National Park and actually has an Ecuadorian government law enforcement licence. And that goes around protecting the no-fishing zone around the Galapagos Islands, which are a very ecologically important place in the world. And it arrests shark finning boats, it arrests longliners, and it's been really effective out there. It's really been a great help for the park rangers.
If people want to get involved, support Sea Shepherd's work, what are some of the things they could do?
Sea Shepherd's very international. There's support groups in various countries. If you were to go to seashepherd.org, go to the website and find out, you know, where the nearest group is. In the UK, we've got quite a good group of supporters who are involved in sort of doing demonstrations. Like, for example, we had a demonstration at the Japanese embassy whilst I was in the Southern Oceans. There were people here in the UK at the embassy, and they sort of lowered the flag to half mast and caused a bit of a stunt there. But the main thing really is raising funds and getting donations of money and equipment for the ships, because most of our activities are out there at sea. So, you know, you can get involved in the UK just by emailing uk@seashepherd.org. And there's so many different jobs to do. I mean, from ringing up companies and trying to get them to give us money and equipment to sort of helping crew a table at various events up and down the country. You know, there's lots of different ways of getting involved.
Have you got anything else to say to people who might be listening to this?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we've got to remember that whilst you're at home on land, far away from the sea, that the Earth is two-thirds water, and that most life on Earth does live in the water, and that that's easily forgotten whilst you live in somewhere like Nottingham, about as far away from the sea as you can get. So really, you know, we have so many ecological problems on land, and they're all incredibly important. But what's often forgotten is the damage to the ecosystems and the species and wildlife that live in the sea, because they're unseen. You know, they're beneath the waves. No one knows much about what's going on with them. And really, we need to remember that and make a bit more of an effort for our ocean dwelling friends. You know, because at the end of the day, you go to any supermarket, the shelves are stacked with seafood, the freezers are full of seafood. Millions of tons of fish pulled out of the sea on a daily basis, and the world's fisheries are in collapse, and we really are on the brink of having a very sterile ocean, and the consequences of that for our planet are quite far reaching. And I for one, I don't want to live in a planet that's got a dead ocean. And it's not just about whales, it's about plankton, it's about sardines, cod, tuna, dolphins, you know, all the different sea life. And so, you know, so protecting the oceans is as important as protecting the forests and protecting the meadows and all the rest of it that people take a lot of time in protecting. So, you know, folks should remember that and put a bit of effort in for the sea.